Good morning. Welcome to worship. I'm Pastor Bob, and I'll be saying something about Memorial Day when during the time of greeting, but we're so grateful that you've come. We have Jesse Huron, who's going to preach today. Where's Jesse? Right there. Are we glad that Jesse's preaching? Okay. Act like you really mean it, please. Thank you. Okay. Okay, good, good. We're so happy that Jesse will be preaching today. So let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, the day that you've given to us, this special day, to be with you and to worship you. Bless Jesse as he brings the good news today. Anoint him with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Give him the words that we need to hear today. And thank you for your presence here among us. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, please be with us this morning as we are coming to worship you today, God. Open our hearts to you to receive what you have for us. And God, we ask that you would just bless us, pour out your Spirit upon us this morning and meet us where we are as we lift up our voices to you in praise and lift up our hearts to you to be molded and transformed, Lord. Amen.
Today is Memorial Day. It's a day of remembrance where we remember those who gave their lives for us while serving in the military in a conflict or a war, whatever it may be. And we're so grateful for those people who gave their lives that we may be free here in the United States of America. But if we also want to remember those today who served in the military. If you served in the military, would you stand up, please? Just stand up. Okay, so we want to say thank you. Thank you for the service, your service to the country. We appreciate it very much. And today, our Jesse Huro, our youth pastor, is going to be preaching on Flip the Blessing.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Like they said earlier, I'm Jesse. I think... I'm still the new guy? I don't know when that ends. So this morning we're going to be speaking on Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And I asked someone to come read it for us, but they declined. So instead, you are going to read it. It's just one scripture. I think you guys can swing that, okay? So together, let's read it. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Pretty straightforward. So that's it for today. Thank you, guys. I'm just kidding. So what I'd like to do right now, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to show you guys this little activity we're going to do, but also I'm going to introduce my wife to you guys. So, Kat, could you please come up here? This is my wife. We've been married for like 7 years or something. And she's really sweet. She's a really nice lady. So this is Kat. We met in college. So. Yay. No, she exists. No, stay here. Come on. So we're going to show you guys an activity that we're going to have you guys do. Everyone's going to have a partner. So you might have to move. But before you move, let me show you what we're going to do. So Kat thinks that I was experimenting with her yesterday, but actually I was preparing her to do what she's going to do right now. So you have a partner, and one partner is going to lead, and the other partner is going to follow. And all you do is just move your finger around, and your partner has to follow your finger. Okay? So, Kat, will you lead, and I'll follow you? Oh, this is really hard. This is, well, okay, that's enough. That's super hard to do. Okay? Thank you, Kat. She's awesome, right? Okay. So, I'm going to have everyone do this. Hopefully, everyone will be able to get a partner. You may have to move. Maybe you won't. Preferably you won't. So we'll take about 30 seconds, and then we'll switch. So you'll switch who leads, okay? So go ahead and get a partner. I'm going to time you guys in my head. Go ahead and start. Okay, go ahead and switch. If you haven't switched yet, go ahead and switch. Who's leading? You guys had it. You guys had it. All right. I think that's good. Let me know who won. Raise your hand if you won. Huh? Who won that game? Anyone? Okay. So let me tell you, you're like, what's this activity? Well, this is actually, I learned this from a guy named Randy Fugison, who was a marriage family therapist, I think in Saratoga. And he came and taught this to a leadership group at my old college. And he told us very specifically, he says, you can either learn this today for free, or you can learn it later on at $120 per hour. Because he does marriage family therapy. And so he says that he thinks it's funny when he's had couples that do this, and they think it's hilarious. They go, ha, 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 you can't keep up. Ha, ha, ha. He's like, okay, maybe that's how you run your house. You are just so ridiculous that no one can keep up with you. And you like torturing people. Or maybe you think it's cute, and you're like, oh, you got it. So he thought that was really funny to see how people do this simple game, and it kind of reflects kind of how they operate in life sometimes. So you got it for free right now, or you can learn it later on. $120 an hour, I think. I don't know the cost, actually, but I'm going to cite my sources at Randy Fugison. I did not make that game up. You're like, what does that have to do with anything? Well, we'll get to that later on. So let's get back to the scripture here. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is extremely straightforward. There's not much to say except that I have a lot of material prepared for you, so I got to talk fast. But thank you guys for doing that activity. I thought that you guys did a great job, and we'll get back to that later on. Now, today we're talking about blessing. We've been talking about blessing. You know, Kim's been up here preaching about blessing like forever, it seems like. But it's very important to understand that there's been a lot of blessing going on throughout Scripture, okay? And we talked about the Beatitudes last week. What a paradox. You're blessed when things turn on you. That's a rough one, and so we're going to talk about that today. But let's get back to the scripture, and what you see here, I have broken it up into three parts, okay? Usually when I read scripture, I break it up into clauses. So, for we are God's handiwork, first clause. Second part is kind of in two clauses, but they are subordinate to each other. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And third section is which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we're going to look at these three little sections here to understand them. So when we say, for we are God's handiwork, okay, there's one word that starts there that I want you to pay close attention to, and that's the word for. Okay, you think, well, okay, what is that? Why are you pointing out one word? Well, this word for here is referencing the passage that came right before that, okay? That means that we are talking about, like, there was something important that was said just before this sentence. So, it says there in Ephesians, it is by grace you have been saved. It's not from yourselves and not by works, okay? That means that you did not save yourself. Christ did it. It was grace and it was a gift given to you, okay? You did not earn it. There's nothing you could do to earn this or to deserve it more than anyone else. So with that said, go ahead and put that in your front pocket there, because we're going to come back to that. All right. Now, for we are God's handiwork. There's another word I want you guys to emphasize there. God's, okay? Not plural. I'm talking possessive, okay? You are God's. You are God's. You are not your own. I'm sorry. You might think you are. You might think that you've earned a good life. No. You might think that you have a lot of money or you have a nice car. When you're in your nice car, okay, you're in your car and you go to turn it on. You think, man, I have a nice car. No. God has a nice car. You're sitting in it. Okay. You think, boy, I got a good amount of savings right now. No. God has savings. He put it in your bank account for now. Okay. It's true. Pastor Bob, I love your Tommy Bahama shirt. That's God's shirt, just so you know. Everyone, do me a favor and look at your hands. Okay? I have a couple fingers that are a little bit crooked. I think it's from either wrestling or football or some kind of trauma I've had. But these are God's hands. Look at your hands. And I want you to know that these are not yours. Whatever imperfections or strength or weakness you might have in these two hands, they are not yours. Okay? They're God's. If your hair has turned gray, God's hair turned gray, and He keeps it on your head. You are not your own. This is an absolute possessive situation here. Now, let's say that, this happened. I'm fixing this drain on my sink in the kitchen. Okay, I'm under the sink, taking this thing apart. It's not like the most complicated thing, but it is frustrating. And so, you ever been under the sink? It is not ergonomical. It hurts. I'm like, it's been days, and this drain is fighting me. I'm in there. The situation with the snake? I'm down there, and I got my tools somewhere behind me on the floor, and I have these daughters. Okay, so Penny, let's say that she finds my channel locks. Okay, you've seen these? They look like they could be an animal that has a big mouth. So let's say that Penny's over there making it talk. Look, Dad, I can make it talk. And I'm under the sink. I need my channel locks. If my channel locks don't appear in my hand immediately, there's trouble. But Dad, I'm making it talk. I don't care. I'm under the sink right now. Give me them channel locks. Okay? You are God's. You are a child playing with your dad's channel locks while he's under the sink. Okay? You are God's. Your stuff is God's. Everything you look at is God's. It's not yours. Well, God, I thought it was maybe both of ours. No. You have it for now. Okay? The sad truth is, it's sad when we lose a loved one. But if God calls someone back, they weren't ours. I'll miss them. But we are God's. We are His. Possessive. Okay, I want you to understand that. Now, there's this book, You Are Special by Max Lucado. I have three copies of this book. People give it to us. The last one, Monica gave to Juliet, my little baby daughter, and Juliet was so happy to have it. I'm like, I read that to you last week. We have it. I have two copies at home because people keep giving it to us. So we have three copies of this book. I'm starting to think I'm supposed to learn something from it at this point. Maybe I'm supposed to learn something from it. Let me just briefly explain what it means to you as we're talking about we are God's handiwork, okay? In this book, it's a kid's book about these sentient wooden puppet beings that live in a community together, okay? They walk around and they judge each other. If your paint is chipped or you stumble or say something silly, they give you a bad mark. If you are clean, nice-looking puppet, and you're graceful and do cool stuff, they give you a gold star. Okay, and they're all going around judging each other. And there is this one puppet, the main character of the story. He's kind of down on himself because he has bad marks. And so he goes to see Eli, the woodcarver. So in a community of wooden puppets, woodcarver is the creator. Does that make sense? So the woodcarver tells him, I saw you got some bad marks. And he's like, I don't know how to get over this. And so the woodcarver tells him, just worry about what I tell you. I say that you're special. I made you. I say that you're special. And that's all you got to worry about. Don't worry about everyone else. And now I'm not a wood carver. I don't know how to carve puppets. But if I ever did take the time to make a puppet, it would take me days, I'm assuming, and I'd cut my fingers a little bit because I don't know what I'm doing. At that point, that puppet is extremely valuable to me. And I don't want to hear anyone say, well, the nose is crooked. Okay, if I ever come up here with I made a puppet, and you say something, well, the nose is a little crooked. Well, you make a puppet then, okay? So, Eli says, I call you valuable because it hurt. I cut my finger on this part of your arm here where you are the exact length I wanted you to be. You have the exact imperfections that I wanted. You are perfect the way I made you, and you're valuable. So, when God says that we are His handiwork, I want you to know that God made you with purpose. Wherever you've been through, whatever kind of folly you've come into, any kind of troubles, misfortunes, You are here right now in this place in your life with some purpose. Okay? Whatever your age is, you're exactly the age you're supposed to be right now. Whatever your abilities are, weaknesses, strengths, friendships, associations, you are precisely where you need to be, and God has a purpose for that. You're his handiwork. Okay, he's a very good craftsman, I think. And the next clause, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now, this clause here, I'm going to split it up a little bit. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Oh, let me just reference back. When we talk about doing good works, I'm not talking about earning your salvation. Let's go back to what we had in our pocket. Okay, it's by grace you've been saved, not from yourselves, but by works. Not by works, sorry. So when we talk about doing good deeds, we're not talking about you getting saved. I'm talking about you were saved by Christ, and because of that, you do good works. So let's break it up in two pieces here. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now, raise your hand if you've ever been given a second chance. If you've ever had a second chance, raise your hand. Okay. And if Christ has ever given you a second chance, then you have a new purpose, and that is to do good works. Okay. Now, there's tension there. We live in a world where you have to pay rent. Okay, I have to earn money and feed our bodies. Okay. But ultimately, that's not my purpose. My purpose is to do good works. If I am created in Christ, I have to do good. This is my new purpose. Okay. So, there's a word for that. It's called repurposed. You guys ever? Okay, some of you know this about me. I like to repurpose furniture. I like to make furniture. It's a really fun activity that I do by myself. And it's really weird. I'll take a file cabinet and turn it into a coffee table. Yeah, I like that one, but it is not a file cabinet anymore. You can open the doors and there's storage inside, but you can't stand it up and put files in it. It's not that anymore. Here's a headboard, footboard, turn it to a bench. Here's four pallets turned into a trunk. You cannot put appliances on this and then lift it up with a forklift. Okay, this pile of four pallets will never say, I need to go back to the appliance store and have some appliances put on top of me to be lifted with a forklift. This box, this wooden box, will never, ever say that. It cannot. Does anyone know where I'm going with this? If you were created in Christ, you cannot go back to what you thought you were. Well, I don't have I actually prefer, Jesse, that I do this, or I have these preferences. I have a temperament that's contrary to what you're asking me to do. I don't care. If you are created in Christ, you are no longer what you thought you were. You are not. Your purpose is to do good works for Christ. I'm sorry. If you thought your purpose was something else, this wooden trunk cannot ever lift up appliances. A forklift will not accommodate. It's not going to work anymore. This wooden box would be completely nuts if it thought it can do that. You are no longer four pallets sitting on the sidewalk. You are created in Christ to do something else. You've been repurposed. Oh, we have this video clip for you guys. It's from the show 30 Rock. It's hilarious. If you don't know the show, sorry, maybe you won't get it. But it talks a little bit about grammar. Maybe some of you guys know a lot about grammar. I think some of you are super smart. So let's get that video clip going.
So how you doing over there, Theo Huxtable?
I'm doing good.
Uh-uh. Superman does good. You doing well. You need to study your grammar, son.
Wow. That was embarrassing for you.
Okay, you're like, why did he show that? Dude, that's hilarious. If you didn't think that was hilarious. Okay. Doing well has to do with a healthy lifestyle. I'm doing well. Thank you. I have a healthy lifestyle. I have, air in my tires. I've eaten today. I'm doing well. Thank you. Doing good, Superman does good. He goes around, flying around, saving the day. He's doing good. If you read the Beatitudes, you are not called to be well. I'm sorry. The Beatitudes are so negative. It's like I have to go be persecuted. Basically the opposite of doing well. How are you? Well, I was arrested for preaching last week, and they don't feed you there. You know, they whip you. So I'm not doing well, but I'm doing good. Doing good. Superman does good. You guys catch that? There's a difference. Doing well, doing good. You are called to do good. You are not called to be well. I'm sorry. So my wife is always, she's poor thing. She's always like, how are you always getting hurt? I don't care about being well. Sorry. Sorry, wife. I'm called to do good. And that's difficult and challenging. Christ blessed you to bless others. Okay, you are blessed. We've talked about being blessed. If you are a new creation in Christ, you have been blessed to bless others. Okay? If you are withholding blessings, I don't know. You are definitely blessed to bless others. You are a walking, living, breathing blessing. You are meant to bless others. Now let's get back to this passage, the first clause, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So here's the tricky part. This is what I lost sleep on this week. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. So when I walk outside here, let's say at 6 o'clock after crash sun's over, everyone's gone, I've locked the doors, and I walk out to my car, and there's trash on the ground. So I said, God, did you put this trash here for me to pick up? Because according to this sentence, this clause says that you've prepared these good works for me to do in advance. So you're out here like, here he comes, here he comes. And then whew, disappears. And I show up like, God, did you put this here? Now I've been like racking my mind on this because the universe that God oversees is humongous. Okay, it's huge, and I get lost thinking about it. You have these things moving around in outer space. The sun has a certain temperature. Our earth has a certain type of atmosphere. If a butterfly flaps its wings here, does it cause a hurricane over here? I don't get how God is watching me so closely to put trash out so that I would pick it up. Or have a kid who's hurt, and I have to come help them somehow in my amateur expertise. I don't know. But God is setting me up to do some good works. I don't understand how that's even possible. It doesn't make sense for God to keep track of all these things and have some account on me as well. Let me tell you something about myself. I love being around people, but I somehow, this is like, I'm going to be vulnerable with you guys. Maybe you deal with this. I don't know, but I'm just going to throw it out here. And you can just say, nope, I don't deal with that. Or maybe you do. Just sit silently while I talk, please. I get lonely very easily. Very easily. I don't know what. I've never, ever lived alone in my entire life. I always either live with family or friends or then my wife and kids. I've never lived alone. And yet I have this weird mentality where I might retreat and be, just feel lonely. Like no one gets me. Okay, in high school, I used to go running in the middle of the night. I'd go to practice. After school, I'd go to practice. And then I'd go to work. And then after that, I'd have to go run, either to win a race or to cut weight for wrestling. And so I'd go running in the middle of the night. No one's out there in Sunnyvale at midnight on the streets. I'm just out there running around like a lunatic for miles. And then my mom and my sister are like, boy, how do you keep winning? Because I run when you're asleep, dummies. I don't just give medals to rookies. You got to go do some work. And then in college, I could not do homework while my friends were awake. So I would take a nap after class, go to dinner, have fun with my friends. They all go to bed. I took them all in at midnight. And then I'd work on my papers from midnight to 4 a.m. and take a nap and then go to class and do it all over again. If I had a big paper, it was done between midnight and 4 a.m. I liked that everyone was there, but I needed them all to be quiet and asleep. I said, here's all my friends. No one's gone. Everyone's safe. And I just crank away, and I can free my mind to do work. Now I'm in my 30s. I walk my secret. I walk my dog between the hours of midnight and 2 a.m. I don't know what the heck's the matter with me. I work on my sermons the same time, that hour. I'll go to bed at 5 a.m. I don't know what it is. There's times when my wife will come out and be like, where is my husband? I might be in the garage working on some weird furniture piece. I don't know what it is about me. I retreat and I feel like no one gets me. I don't know why I get like that. If I'm friends with you, we're close friends, and you misunderstand me, immediately I feel loneliness again. I could be sitting right next to someone who I thought knew me, and you misunderstood me to my core, and I'm like, am I alone here in the entire universe right now? I don't get it. This is my genuine vulnerability to you. There's times where I might feel super lonely, and it's really awkward because I'm with people all the time. I don't know how I betray myself like that. So I'm thinking, how on earth is God able or even willing to keep track of me, to set me up for good deeds, when this whole universe is so vast and there's so many moving parts and so many things more important than me, okay? So if there's a meteor flying through space, or an asteroid, okay, flying through space at millions of miles per hour, you can't even clock its speed because there's nothing from which to reference its speed, because everything in space is just floating. So this thing flying through space, how on earth is it able to collide with another floating thing in space and form something? That's like shooting a bullet with a bullet. The odds are so small that it must just be impossible. It doesn't make sense for me to understand that until I think of one thing, and I was like, oh my gosh, guys, gravity. What's gravity? What is that? What do you guys think that is? It's basically attraction. It's attraction. As a human being, God knows a lot about me. He knows what I'm attracted to. He'll set me up. I have to understand, oh my gosh, God, you know what I'm attracted to. You've been setting me up this whole time. You've been playing me. He can do that. Okay, when I came for my interview at this church, I didn't exit Wolf, I exited De Anza. And I'm like, why did I think this was the exit? So then I got to come on Bollinger. What's on the corner of Bollinger and De Anza? No one knows. Popeyes. Doug knows what I'm talking about. So I took this job. I said, Popeyes right there, please hire me. I'll be here, I'll do whatever you want. God knows what I want. Okay, He's been setting me up this whole time. If there's someone here I was supposed to reach, He put Popeyes on the corner there so that I would be here to do that job. So let me tell you three things about, in order for God to set me up to do good works, He had to have been alongside me this whole time. He'd have to know my tendencies, quirks, and passions. Basically understand me. As complicated and mysterious as I might think I am, He understands me. And He has a plan for me. Basically, for these three things to exist, I have the opposite of loneliness. I have been understood this whole time. He's been with me, even when I'm running in the middle of the night in Sunnyvale, or now walking my dog at midnight in Menlo Park in East Palo Alto. And He has a plan for me. Walking in these doors, He had a plan for me. Walking out these doors, He has a plan for me. Wherever I go after this, He's setting me up this whole time to have a plan. Let's recap. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is our calling. You guys, you may argue and doubt and not understand, but you are absolutely and positively called to serve God. You are absolutely made to be a blessing. You are made to be a blessing. When I say absolutely, I mean that there are no qualifications. There's no conditions. There's no out. There's no out. You think you have the out. Oh, I have the out. I'm busy this weekend. No. You are absolutely designed and made and created to be a blessing. I had you hold up your hands, okay? These are meant to bless others, okay? If you're able to get here, you're able to bless others. If you are still on this earth, you were made to bless others. Regardless of what kind of hardships you've had, or you currently have, or will have, regardless of how successful you may have been, it doesn't matter. You are made to be a blessing. Absolutely, without any fracture. That's what you are. But I want for you guys to understand that. There is no, you are not alone. You are not so wounded that you can't be useful to a God, that He loves you so much that He would still use you and call you and hold you tight and repurpose you if he needed to. Okay. This church, you individuals are blessings. You are walking, living blessings. You're made with a purpose, and that's to serve. You were intentionally made. You're intentionally recreated and repurposed. And here you are, made to be a blessing. I'm going to pray for you guys. Dear Lord, I pray for this group of people right here. God, I ask that you would be with them today and that you would let them know that they are a blessing. That whatever they've been through, God, that you would comfort them, that you would reveal yourself to them, that you would let them know that you've called them, that you have plans for them. God, let them know how to bless others. Let them know that they are part of your plan, that they are part of your purpose. Though we may feel like we are wandering or on our way to something else, that every step in between here and where we're going is meant to be part of your purpose. That every step of the way and every person we meet, we are meant to be a blessing. God, touch our hearts. Reveal to us what you would like for us to do. Compel us and move us. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Jesse. God stands beside us. He knows us. And He has a plan for us. And that plan is to do good and be a blessing. And our response is, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Stand with me as we sing together.
You guys are probably wondering why I did that little activity. You guys, this is how God leads us. Okay? This whole time we think that we might be far off from where God is leading us. And He's right there. I mean, just right there telling us where to go. Just begging us to follow Him. He's never over here while our finger's over here. He's always just right there trying to guide us. So please don't feel far off. God is a really good leader, and He has wins for you. He has successes for you set up. So please go follow His leadership, follow God's guidance, go with His blessings, and also be a blessing to others. Thanks.